in life, just pour it all out. It's like I was telling a story just a minute ago. This isn't part of it, so this doesn't count on my time. about this guy who's a manager of an airport over in Africa, here's how the story went. The youth pastor in Rapid knows a guy who's a pastor down in Georgia who went over to visit this guy over in Africa. Okay. So it's a true story. I heard it third hand, but it is true. He just told me this last week. Okay? So anyway, so this guy goes over to do a mission trip with this manager of the airport, and he has like the best job in this entire region. It's like he makes really good money and whatever. So anyway, so he funds this entire ministry himself. It's like a food ministry. It's pays for pastors to preach and all this stuff. And it's this ministry in this area, in this region in Africa. And this guy, he's visiting with him, you know, after their prayer service. And he says, hey, you want to come over to my house for dinner? And he's like, sure, yeah, let's go over. And so, like, they get in this, you know, this little buggy kind of a car, and they're, like, tooling across town. And they get to the area in town where it's, like, it's scary, okay? Like, you're afraid you might die, okay? they get out of their car. He's like, come on. So, they get out of their car. He walks into this bar, okay? And he's like, where's he going? He walks into this bar, and he walks into the bar behind him, and he sees, like, it's a really dark, dingy bar and a scary place. And he's like, am I going to live through this dinner or what? And he's like, come on, let's go. So he follows him to the back, goes out the back door, and out the back door, there's like heaps of trash. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of people in Africa, like living, like literally just in abject poverty. Off to the side, there's this old tin, 8x10 tin building, and it has a padlock on it, and he goes over to it, and he's like, he, like, unlocks the door. He's like, come on, let's have dinner. And he realized at that moment, this is the happiest man I've ever known. And here is this guy. He's, like, living and just poured it all out for the gospel's sake. Isn't that so beautiful? He's like, you know what? All this stuff in my life, you know, it's important to make sure that our needs are met. But, like, the gospel, it's so much more important, you know? Let's just pray. Father, as this song said, Lord, you are brighter than the sun. How can we stand in your presence? Sometimes, Lord, we take it for granted that you just love us and care for us and how you provide for us, how you just pour into our lives, how you rescue us from sin, how you set us free, how you give us eternal life. Lord, how you meet all of our needs. Lord, how you created this universe in a breath. Lord, we are just merely your breath in this world. Lord, the very least that we can do is just pour out our lives before you. Father, the most amazing thing is that you in your glory, in your splendor, in your riches, in your absolute just self-sufficiency, saw fit to create us. And then to love us, to provide everything for us, Lord. You are just so good to us. Lord, you're so good. Lord, we want to be living sacrifices for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And then Brian gets up and he's just talking about all these ministries. And I was thinking about something he said about how words, you know, words matter. And how this word, how it sets us free, you know, how it leads us right into the very midst of a holy God. There was a story of a guy who, he's like, what's words? And he's walking on campus. He's an atheist. And this Gideon gives him this little New Testament. It was just like this one. This is the one that I got when I was in college in Utah. There was Gideon hands him a New Testament. He's an atheist. He's like, what do I want that for? And he walks on. And about 100 yards up, there's another guy. And he's like, here, take this. And he's like, what do I want that garbage for? And then he realizes, he looks up and he's like, the sidewalk, the entire sidewalk, there's like 15 guys passing out these New Testaments. He's like, oh. Yeah, just give it to me so then I can say I took one. All right. So he takes it. Well, this guy is a, he has a twin brother. Him and his twin brother are atheists, and they have like made it their purpose in life to make sure that every Christian that they come into contact with knows that they're wrong. And so like he's sitting there and he takes it and he's just like, whatever. He's at college. And he looks down at his watch and he realizes, oh, I'm an hour early for my class. How did that even happen? And so he sits down on this bench and he's like, what is this cheap junk? And he opens it up and he gets to the first page, which is Matthew chapter 1. And he starts reading. And then he gets to chapter 2. And he gets to chapter 3. Pretty soon he's at chapter 13. And he's at chapter 28 about this go out and make disciples stuff. He reads on to Mark. He missed his class. He kept reading. Got to Mark. Kept reading all the way through Luke. All the way through John. This is a true story. I heard him tell it. He's like, I got to Acts, and it was time for dinner, and I was like, I don't even care. I have to keep reading. This is something, I have to just keep reading this book. He gets to Romans. He gets to Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, all the way to Revelation. He keeps reading into the Psalms. It's 10 o'clock at night. He's still sitting on that bench. He gets to Psalms. He gets to Proverbs. And he gets to the end of this book, and then there's this page on the back that says, my decision to receive Christ as my Savior. It's about midnight at that point. He falls down on his knees, and he's like, God, rescue me. I need to turn from my sin and my self-righteousness and trust in Christ. But he had a problem because he had this twin brother that was a total atheist. And he was like, oh, what am I going to do? So he's like, you know what? I don't care. He's woke me up a lot of times at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't even care. He goes, bangs on his dorm room door. And his twin brother opens up the door. He's got tears in his eyes and he's holding one of these books. He's like, I have to tell you about this Jesus that I just met. It's, you know, it's like, it's amazing what God can do with his word, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? You know, apparently words do matter, you know? You know, God's big plan for this world, to rescue the entire world, was to send his son. Now, this is God's big plan. This isn't our big plan. This is God's big plan. He's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send my son, and with him, I'm going to send some words, and then he's going to hang out with 12 guys for like 3 or 4 years, and then we're going to flip the world upside down. And a lot of times we think to ourselves, like, what? That doesn't sound like a very good plan, God. You know, like, shouldn't you have like a major radio ministry? Shouldn't you have like a major television ministry? Shouldn't you have like a Lear jet that you flew around? And he's like going on his Nike Express, except for it wasn't Nike back then, all over, you know, on his, and they went to a 3-day journey. You know, like, that's really the best use of time for the Son of God? I mean, couldn't he just like, you know, like Philip and, you know, translate him, just boom, boom, back over there, just like, and you got to go to Caesarea, you know? And I was like, no, because that's not, that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was just disciple them, right? He says, just like, preach his gospel, disciple these people, and repeat, okay? That's all you do. You know, like the parable of the sower. It says, when that seed falls in good ground, it's 30, 60, and 100-fold. I believe those are literal numbers. Think about this. What if you actually discipled 30 people in your entire life? What kind of an impact would you have in the world if you discipled 60 people? What if you actually discipled 100 people that went out from you into this community and discipled another 30, 60, or 100 people? God knows what he's doing, you know? God knows what he's doing. And it's not just, it changes us, you know? It's kind of like, it's like if I was, say, Diane, I'll finish up with the music, and Brian comes up and he's like, Ann, come on up. Chuck Ferraro, come give us a message about the Gideons. And I'm not there. And it's kind of like this awkward silence. And they're like, well, maybe he's in the bathroom. I think he's in the bathroom. And they're like, is he here? 5 minutes goes by. Kind of like, well, should we do something else? Yeah. 10 minutes goes by. You hear the door slam. I rush into the room. I'm like out of breath. I come up front and I'm like, okay, well, I'm really sorry. I'm late. I was on I-90 and I had a flat tire. And then, crazy thing, I'm taking the tire off. The tire rolls out into the interstate, and like I go out to get the tire and I got hit by a Mack truck. Okay? So that hurt really bad. But I'm here, so let me go ahead and get started with this message. You'd be like, you're a liar. Okay? Nobody comes face to face with a full speed Mack truck and is not changed. Okay? How can we say that God, who created the universe, we come face to face with him and our life isn't changed? There's a change that happens. There's a change that happens when we come face to face with a holy God. So for those of you who don't know who the Gideons are, from the beginning of the Gideons back in 1898, it started by these two business guys. They were hanging out together. They happened to have this. Back in the 1800s, when you went to a hotel, it wasn't like you just like pulled out your Airbnb and was like, where am I going to stay? And my hot wire and whatever, right? So that's not how it was. You would like show up at a hotel and then they would say, well, you know, yes, we have a room, or no, we don't have a room, or well, we have this double bedroom. You want to stay in there with another person? And they're like, okay. So there was these two guys that happened to be staying in the same hotel room together. And they realized pretty quickly that both of them were followers of Christ. Just wonder about that little meeting. It was like, what if they had just kept their mouth shut? Like, I'm just going to have dinner. I don't know this person. I don't have to be all open about my faith with this person. And he's like, you know, I believe it is one of the greatest gifts you can give to a person the moment you meet them. You're just like, man, I just need to tell you about the love of Jesus. Man, God is so good. This morning when I was reading my Bible, you know, it's like, it's such a gift to people because then they're like, oh, it's like this unwritten rule. It's like, oh, you shared Christ, so therefore I can too. You know, it's such a gift. Anytime you meet somebody for the first time, just like, just lay it all out there. Just, here you go. I'm a follower of Christ. He changed my life. I'm just going to throw it out there. Let people know. Well, anyway, so they were praying together, and they're like, you know what would be awesome is if there was an organization for us people that are on the road all the time, like us business people that are on the road. Then a little bit later on, a few years later, this pastor said, you know what you guys should do? You should put Bibles in them hotels. And they were like, that's a great idea. And that pastor said, we'll pay for all of them for our community to start. And that's how the Gideon Bible Ministry started. Such a beautiful thing to happen. That was back in 1898 when it started. In 1971, the Gideons had placed 100 million Bibles. Last year, the Gideons placed 100 million Bibles alone. Now, if you were to add that up, I did a little mathematics before you came in and figured the size and dimensions of this room. 100 million Bibles would be this room filled up to 6 feet 40 times. That's a lot of Bibles. Going all over the world. They gave their billionth Bible away in 2001. That was 1908 to 2001. They gave a billion Bibles away. They did that again from 2002 to 2013. Give a billion Bibles away. And you think to yourself, well, you know, there's only 7.2 billion people in the world, so at some point, do we need to stop giving them away? Actually, the shelf life on these is, if we're lucky, 5 years. Because they get, you know, used up. There's stories like you see these stories come across, we get this Gideon magazine. You see this story come up a number of times where it's like somebody in prison is ripping out the paper and using it to smoke weed or whatever, right? And then, like, they're on, you know, they've gotten used all of Matthew and everything in Mark and down to Luke. And then they get to John, and they're, like, in John chapter 3, and they're ready to roll it up for another toke. And, like, they start reading and give their life to Christ. It's just amazing, you know. You see that happen. But so there is, they get used up, you know. Sometimes they get thrown away. It's like I heard this guy told me this. He was giving out New Testaments at a school. They, you know, Gideons go to elementary schools and they stand on the sidewalk and they give out New Testaments to kids as they walk by. And this Gideon gave this New Testament to a kid. He says, "Would you like a New Testament?" And nowadays we've got all kinds of cool, neat little covers, you know, for the kids. It's fun for the kids. And they come in the King James, and then also the ESV. So he gives it to this kid. He's like, "Would you like a New Testament, son?" And the boy takes it, and he's like, and just throws it up on the roof of the school, and he laughs in his face and walks away. And the guy was like, "Well, I guess there goes that one," right? A few weeks later, he's in church. This guy comes up to the front, and he's like, "Hey, I want to give my testimony. Well, I'm a janitor at the elementary school there, and I was up on the roof doing some work, and I was just like, I really hit a wall, and I was just standing there, and like, God, if you're real, will you give me a sign that you're real? Because I don't even know, I'm done." And all of a sudden, this little New Testament comes flying up at me. It's right next to me. I just pick it up. I sat down. I start reading. I got to this back page where it talked about my decision to receive Christ as my Savior. I signed the back. I'm a follower of Jesus. You know, it's like, we just have no idea what God, you know, how God can use us, you know. So basically that's what Gideons do. We share the gospel personally. We use what's called these personal worker's testaments. This is an old one from way back in the day. I know Dorothy's got an older one than me. But we share the gospel with people, and then we get God's word out to the world in a number of different ways, and we pray for our churches. That's pretty much it. So like 100% of, if you give money to the Gideons, 100% of it goes to placing Bibles around the world, okay? One of the cool things about the Gideons is when they set it up, and this was like, this had to be like, Holy Spirit, drop this in their hearts, because this is as good as it gets, in my opinion. They're like, you know what you should do? You Gideons pay for all the overhead. You pay for the administrative costs. You pay for that person to, you know, answer the phone and all that stuff. Then, when people give to buy Bibles, they know like, hey, you know what? If I give $500, that's $500 in Bibles that's going to go change somebody's life. You know? If I give $1.09, is that what it is? Has it gone up? $1.40. Okay. Well, they kind of go up and down. It's like sometimes they're, like a few years ago, it was like $1.20-something, and then it, for 1 year, it was like $1.09. It dropped down. I think they got like some kind of a deal or something. But give $1.40, and, you know, this is going to go to somebody. And this isn't like, they don't just like, you know, shoot them from an air cannon, like, all over the place. These are, what happens is Gideons donate their time, fly around the world to meet with other Gideons, and they do what's called these Bible blitzes, where they go to schools, they go to colleges, they go to other campuses, and then they pass out thousands of Bibles in an area, and they just like, they'll pass out like 250,000 Bibles in a week. It's amazing. And they're donating all their time to do that. And they're one person to another person. They're not like, here's a stack, you know, just whatever. You know, it's like they're passing them out. They're telling a story. You know, Gideons around the world, you know, it seems like here in America, Gideons are all over the age of 65 or something. It's like every Gideon I know, they're like, hey, they're shiny. But... Something I wanted to talk about today. You guys, become a Gideon, okay? It's like, this is what, like, if you want to, like, you know, you do know this, that any time you give to the Lord, your service is for your benefit. It's not for God, okay? Me coming here to speak, it isn't for your benefit. Sorry. It's for my benefit. God blesses me when I go speak. You know, it's like when I go and help out with a youth group up in Hill City, God blesses me. That's a blessing to me to be able to be in the position that God would use me as a vessel of honor. You know, it's like, so if you're not a Gideon, please come talk to me, okay? It's not something to wait until, well, I'll just wait until I retire because I really don't have time for that. You know what? We all make time for what we want to make time for. How many of you have conquered all the Angry Birds, whatever, thingamajiggers on your phone or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Or the jetpack joyride game or whatever, you know what I'm saying? It's like, we spend a lot of time that is completely wasted. Or how many of you binge watched the 24 series or, I don't know, you know, something, some TV series where you sit and watch, like, the whole thing in a row for, like, 24 hours straight. How many of you have watched The Lord of the Rings back to back? I know I have. Okay. The point is, we have a lot of time in our lives that we waste. And, you know, being part of the Gideons, it doesn't take much time, first of all. It's a really short amount of time that we meet together once a month. We talk about, like, hey, we're gonna make sure that the Bibles are in our hotels. We're gonna make sure that give Bibles at schools, and we're gonna go to some churches and ask for people to buy Bibles. That's pretty much it. It's not much time. but it's really valuable time. Can I pull up that one picture I showed you? That one. Not that one. Just kidding. I wanted that picture. That's my boy Caleb. Some of you asked, they were like, "Where's the baby?" How about another one? How about that one? He's my sweet, sweet butter bear. He's my sweet butter bear. How about it? There was one that I wanted you to check. That's my lovely wife. And that's his sleep sack. It's called Merlin's sleep sack because it's magic. And there's Daniel. You like that? He's got his little arm crook. I think that's so cute. And he's reading to his little brother. There's Daniel. He's in the Cub Scouts. Second place. Pinewood Derby. Okay. This is actually the one I wanted to make sure you guys see. You know, isn't that what we hope from all of our kids? That they're free from sin? It's what it's about, isn't it? It's what it's about. It's like, how are we gonna reach the next generation? I have a little video I want to share with you guys. It talks a little bit about a guy tells a little bit about his life, and then he has a request.
One of the things that I'm often asked to do is to come to Gideon's events and share with you how my life was changed through the Gideon Bible that I encountered once. I'd love to be able to come to every event that I'm invited to, but sadly I can't. So what I've decided to do is just shoot this short video, because I'm really passionate about what you Gideon's folk do, and I want to share with you the huge impact that your ministry has had on my life. Bernie Diamond, I was a really successful businessman. I went to a really good school. I was the ducks of the school. I went to the Royal Military College, Duntroon. I graduated from there as an army officer. And after 10 years in the military, I then went into business with some friends of mine, and we grew an international consulting firm into a really large, successful business, which we then sold to a public company. So, you know, by any global standard, I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I was really blessed. I had everything. I had a great home. I had a great education. I had plenty of money. But the more of that stuff that I had, the more I wanted. My aim in life was to be as wealthy as possible and to be as successful as possible and to get as much kudos as possible. And I didn't care who got in my road. I would walk straight over the top of them to get to where I was going. I've made grown men cry as a businessman. The more successful I became, the more money I had, the more money I spent on myself, the bigger were my cars and my houses. But can I tell you honestly, as much as the bravado, the outward Bernie looked successful and appears successful to everybody else, the more of that stuff that I had, the emptier I felt. In fact, things got so bad that in February 1995, I was travelling a lot. I travelled as part of my consulting work. I was staying at a hotel in Brisbane, the Grand Chancellor. And I remember it was a bright, sunny morning, and I walked out on the balcony. It was the 8th floor, room 814, and I came this close to taking my own life. I still remember looking down at the concrete driveway 8 floors below and thinking about taking my own life. Now, when I was young, I kind of believed in God, but you know, you grow out of that stuff, fortunately. And you Christians, by the way, you Christians seriously got up my nose. I hated you Christians, because you Christians were so goody-two-shoes and so this and so that, and I had no time for Christians. In fact, the only Christians in my life I treated really badly because I didn't like them. I guess now I can look back on it and see what was going on spiritually, but back then I hated Christians. So here I am on this balcony on this morning, really ready to take my life. And I can only describe it as though there were two forces pulling me, one pulling me over the balcony and one pulling me back inside. I now know who was trying to pull me out of the balcony. But there was this force trying to pull me back inside. And so I went inside and I knelt down because I thought that's what you've got to do. And I said, God, I don't know if you're out there. But if you are, now would be a really good time. That's all I had. And that's all it took. The night before, I'd been reading the Gideon's Bible that was in my hotel room. I pray that one day in eternity, I'm going to meet the guy who put the Bible in the top drawer of my bedside table. And without any shadow of doubt, I can tell you that God spoke to me through that Bible. And I stand here today because that guy put that Bible in that hotel room. A lot of bad things I went through after that day. I had a lot of pain to travel through. I lost just about everything. I lost my family. I lost just about everything. But on that day began a new journey. Within a few months, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Within a few months after that, I was at Bible college, studying ministry and theology. And as a part of that, I saw this memo come around to ministry students. It was in my pigeonhole. And it said, there's a half unit elective on media. And I just knew in my heart of hearts that I had to do that. I had no idea why. I had no idea where that was leading. And so I did that half unit of media. I got involved with a ministry. The lecturer was the guy from Back to the Bible. Many of you will know that ministry in Australia. It's called Christianity Works. And he taught me the stuff. I did an internship with them. I eventually became a member of the board, the chairman of the board, and in 2004, I became the CEO of that ministry. Within a few years, the radio programs that I was producing, sitting down in a studio in Sydney, Australia, were being heard on over 1,000 stations in 160 countries. Today, every time I go into the radio studio, I am speaking the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to 40 million people around the world every week. And that's a conservative estimate. God's amazing. You know, what you Gideons do is amazing. And I encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, to keep ministering, to keep getting those Bibles out there, to keep getting the Word of God out there, because the Word of God transforms people's lives. My life has been totally changed. Yes, God brought some Christians across my path. Yes, they ministered to me. Yes, a whole bunch of other things happened. But a key link in that chain was that Gideon's Bible that that guy put in that hotel room for me to read on that night. Where would I be if that guy hadn't done that? Don't know. I just don't know. So, I'm passionate about what you people do. I love your ministry. So let me give you a little encouragement too. I want to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, but also this is what's going on. The world is changing around you. The world is changing rapidly around you. I know on our...
Well, and that was in 2012. For those of you who have one of these things, don't you know there's enough garbage on this thing? You could put something good on it. For those of you who don't have a Bible app that you have found to be useful, the Gideons does have a Bible app. I really like it. It looks like you can't see way in the back. I'm sorry, but it's got the Bible in King James and also in ESV, and you can download it to your phone. So then, when you're driving through the hills, which is all the time that you never have service, it's on there all the time. And then it also has an audio version of both of them, so then you could actually download the entire audio Bible on there, and it's free. It's got a really nice search tool. It's really interactive, kind of like your Strong's Concordance. If you're used to looking things up and somebody says something to you and you're like, where is that scripture? You can type it in real quick and it'll show you where it's at. It'll show you, you can find it pretty quickly. It's pretty interactive and intuitive app. So if you're looking for a good Bible app, that's a good one. That's one of the things that Gideon's has done. Another thing, and some of you might be familiar with this book. This is called The Life Book. Kids here in this church were able to pass these out to their friends. What it is it's the book of John that's in there. But it's not just the book of John. It has like different people writing notes in the margins with different perspectives. And it's hard to explain, but it makes it more interactive. So like you open it up and you're reading something. And then you see the youth pastor makes a note. And then the atheist kid makes a note. And then the jock makes a note. And the kid that's alone all the time makes a note. Just different comments about different things that the Bible says. And one of the girls was telling me, this is back when we first gave these out, that she gave it to a friend of hers, and she's like, oh, what's this? And she's like, oh, it's Life Book. You should read it. So she says, okay. Sits down in health class, which is pretty much an abomination anyway, and just reads this instead of listening to the health lecture. I know she got way more out of this than a health lecture. So they have these, and that's another way that Gideon's are reaching out. Of course, he talked about these Bibles in the hotel, and people say, like, does anybody read those things? You know what I mean? They sit there, they collect a little dust. They figure, I think it's like 2,300 times that each Gideon Bible on average is opened in its lifetime, sitting there. That's pretty amazing. There's a letter that came in from a lady named Melanie in Florida I wanted to bring to you guys. She says, it's 9 a.m. I've done 5 beverage services and 2 meal services on the way to Miami, from Miami to London. I've been up for 24 hours. I just walked into my hotel room, and my first thought is there a Bible on my bedside table? I have been a flight attendant for almost 40 years. In each city where I spend the night, I count on having the Bible in my hotel room, and I have not been disappointed. I don't know if you have ever thought about the thousands of flight attendants you have ministered to all these years in all those hotel rooms. Having God's word in each room is an amazing miracle, and I, for one, cannot say thank you enough. I know of no other organization in the world that fulfills the Matthew 28:19 commission better than the Gideon's International. God bless your efforts, and they have been such an inspiration to me. You have blessed me and countless flight attendants who have many homes away from home and can always count on the word of God being there. And you think about that, people that have really like jobs that they're constantly on the go. Flight attendants, airline pilots, people that just about live in hotels. It's right there for them every time they come in. And it's like, what's the alternative when you go into a hotel room? The TV? Well, that's good. That's a good choice. Not usually. You have God's word right there. When I was a kid, I still have it. When I was a kid, it was an orange one. Wasn't this one. It was this one. And the feeling I got, I was a Christian. I believed in God. But they gave me this little New Testament, and you know what the feeling I got when I got this? I'm not alone. I grew up in a church that was, I don't think that the church taught this, but I got this general feeling like, we're the only Christians in town. That's it, right there, the 12 people in youth group, that's it, that's all there is. I had this kind of general feeling like, God, we're like the last, like it's like Elijah, you know, on Mount Carmel, where he's like, God, I'm the last one. He's like, I got 7,000, I haven't bowed to Baal, you know. But I felt that way growing up in that church, and I don't think that it was necessarily taught, but that was my impression. And I remember getting this little New Testament, and I remember this feeling like, there's other Christians out there? You know how little kids, they get this idea? It was like, there's other Christians out there. I'm not alone, you know? And it was like I felt like this family, you know? Like this family of God, it's right there. You know, and these little New Testaments, they go out all over the United States, and sometimes people ask, like, okay, we're a Christian country, 87% of people claim to be Christian in America, right? So why do we, like, give them in America? Read your story. This is from a lady who was, she was a fifth grade girl named Connie over in Missouri. Bible Belt. I was raised in an atheist home. My father always told me, there's no God, there's no heaven, there's no hell. My parents were alcoholics, and God and Jesus were curse words in our house. I went to Springfield Public Schools. I actually went there when I was a kid. Third grade, lived in Springfield. And I remember, when I was in elementary school, that Gideons were allowed to stand on the sidewalk off the school property and hand out these pocket New Testaments. It was the first Bible I'd ever seen. Are you kidding me? This is America. Breaks my heart. It was the first Bible I ever saw. And it was small enough that I could hide it in my things at home and my parents would never notice. I have kept that Bible all these years. I have now passed it on to my son who is going into ministry. I know that the seed of the Word of God that was given to me on that day at school had a big part in changing my life. Even though I did not understand what I was reading at the time, the Bible tells us that God's Word does not return void. Amen. All praise and glory and honor be to Christ our Lord. It was by the grace of God that I was later saved at the age of 15. So I want to say thank you to the Gideons for sowing the word of God in my life and in the lives of so many others. I pray that the Lord will continue to bless you abundantly and will give you open doors that no man can shut. Amen. Other Bibles, they're in America. Sometimes they go around the world. This one's in Spanish. I can't read it. You know, some people can, though. You know, in America, we have like 57 versions of the Bible, and we argue about which one's the best version. You know, people in China are happy to get a Bible in their language. We're worried about, well, is that the ESV or the NSB or the NSBAB and the you know, the KJV and the, is it the NKJV? Because we have the New King James Version. Is it, you know, they're just happy to get a Bible? Well, there was a guy, he went down to Chile, and he was part of a Bible blitz, and they passed out 3,500 Bibles. They weren't going to go to this particular school. They were going to go to this other school, and then that school, there was like military, guerrilla warfare, go away, go over to this. So they were like, well, what do we do? And they're like, well, there's this other school. There's this other elementary school, K through sixth grade, go over there. So they went over there, and they passed out about 3,500 of these New Testaments. One of them went to this little girl, and she brought it home, and she was like, Poppy, here's, check this out. And he's like, what's that? It's a New Testament. Oh, okay. Just puts it in his pocket. It goes off to work. How many of you guys remember the story of the miners that were trapped in the mine down in Chile? Okay. This was a while ago. Was it 5, 10 years ago now? Well, a number of the miners were rescued out. There were 11 that didn't survive. One of those 11 was her dad. When they finally recovered, they got down to him, they looked through the pockets, and they found this little New Testament in his pocket. And I can't read it, but on the back page it says, do you want to give your life to Christ? And on the back of that page there were 11 signatures. And you're like, God, you're so good. You know, say you got a new job today, and your new job was going to be over in France, and you were going to stay there. You were going to start in June 1st, and you were going to go pretty much to the end of the summer, and then you were going to come back. And your boss tells you, hey, you know, come on over. This is how much money you're going to make. This is where you're going to stay. You're going to stay in this hotel room here. And the issue is, though, because of our work, you can't take anything back with you because it's like customs thing, okay? So you just have to leave everything there. So whatever you, if you buy anything there, it's got to stay there. So what do you do? Would you send all of your money home, or would you like buy a bunch of expensive wall furnishings for your hotel stay? Don't we kind of do the same thing? It's like we're only here 80, not 80, 90 days, but we're here 80, 90 years max, right? We can either keep it all and put up expensive wall furnishings, or we can send it ahead. And it's not hard to send it ahead. We know what the treasure is. You know, when Jesus says, he says, don't lay up treasure here, lay up treasure in heaven. Well, what's the treasure? It's people, right? It's people. It's our relationships. That's why Jesus said there's only two rules. Love God with all your heart. Make sure you know him. And love people. Just pour out to them. Tell them the gospel message. You know, I ask for those of you who are interested in being a Gideon, I want you to talk to me after the service, for real. Don't put it off. Don't be like, that sounds good. Maybe I'll talk to him next year, because this year's already booked. Well, I'll tell you, we have no idea what's even going to happen tomorrow. We have no idea. If God's calling you, today is the day. You know? Now is the acceptable hour. If you want to help with the Gideons, I encourage you to talk to me about it. If you're thinking about, maybe I'll be a Gideon. If you want to give to the Gideons, I'll be at the back. There's a basket back there. Like I said, if you give, this is what you're giving to. These go to the hospitals along with these hospitals. Which ones? Yeah, medical and hospital ones. These ones. Oh, by the way, every military personnel in the world basically gets one of these. Pretty cool, huh? Different languages. This one's in Cambodian. And I brought this one because we have a child that we sponsor in Cambodia, and I'm just like, every time I pick up this, I just think of little Danica over in Cambodia. That's what you're buying, okay? My son, I was downstairs preparing this morning, and my son yells down to me, "Dad, hey, I left something at the top for your Gideon's presentation." This is what he left. He emptied his piggy bank. I'm just like, you know, like you feel like David, like I just want to pour this out before the Lord, you know, like David, whenever they bring him the water from, you know, from his hometown, he's like, "Oh, if I could just have a drink." And then his mighty men, they go and like rush through the van and like bust through the line and get the water, bring it back. And then they're like, "Here you go." And he's like, "Oh, it's just, that's too much. You know, it's just too much." When I see this, I'm like, oh. It's like God sees that. You know, it's like that's what arrests God's attention. You know, it's like all these people are coming up and putting big clunks of money into the temple, and this little lady comes up with her two pennies, and she just puts it in there and calmly walks away, and there's Jesus like this. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's what God's looking for. He wants us just to pour out our lives. So if you want to, God's laid something on your heart, I encourage you, give. I know that his word doesn't return void. The final thing that you could do is you could pray for Gideons all over the world. In America, you know, we're pretty insulated. But Gideons around the world are really like they're like in combat missionaries. They're the ones that are like taking weather balloons, tying a bunch of Bibles in a sack and attaching it to the weather balloon and sending it over to North Korea. No kidding. They're doing that. You know, they're the ones in China that are being arrested and sent to re-education camps. Camps for many years. Gideons are on the front line giving those Bibles out. That's how those Bibles get out in a lot of cases. And so you could, if you have a prayer time, which I encourage everyone to have, just a prayer time, a word time, you open it up, you get to know your Father in heaven, and you're like, "You know what, God, I just want to lift up those people that are just risking their lives to get your word out to people all over the world." Should we pray? Father, we love you. Lord, you are so good to us. All that we have is yours. Lord, we just want to recommit to pouring out our lives to you, Lord, in whatever way that you ask. Lord, you are worthy to be adored and praised and honored. Lord, it's our privilege to know you. It's our privilege. It's our blessing. Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit drew us to you. Lord, we want to honor you with our lives, right even here in our community. Lord, we want every person in our community to have heard the gospel. Lord, we won't rest. We won't rest, Lord. We know that you don't rest. Lord, when you call us to something, Lord, we just want to be open to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.